This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Jake has just tweeted out that we are now joined by award-winning columnist from the Kansas City Star.
That's right.
Did Warren Beatty screw up your award presentation?
Probably. Probably.
Congratulations, man.
Thanks, man.
You and Vahe.
Right.
Yeah. So, there's this old joke in journalism that these awards are arbitrary and completely subjective and often wrong, except when you win, and then it's a total meritocracy,
right. And
it's based on charm and good looks and personality. So that's
and ability.
Where I stand.
Well, how the hell did you win?
I do want to say, like, one thing. Like, I was, again, like, these awards, whatever, but, like, I was so happy for Vahe, and I thought it was really cool that we were both on that list together. I could not, like, literally, I know this is corny, but it's the absolute truth. I could not have a better partner in that job than Vahe. He's amazing.
And tell people what you won for.
Oh, it's APSC, which is, I believe it stands for Associated Press Sports Editors Award. They do different circulation categories, and me and Vahe were both recognized as top 10 sports columnists.
Now, I don't want to, not to make you nervous, basically this is just to welcome you to the fraternity. I don't know if you realize that you're talking to the 2004 Media Mix Radio Personality of the Year.
How about that?
I mean, that's it. I could leave right now. Field's over.
Please do.
And I've not been invited back since, and I do not believe it still is in existence because of that.
Is it not in existence?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
No reason to after
I've
that.
I've never
right?
won. I've never won a professional award of any kind. I did get second place back-to-back years from the Kansas Association of Broadcasters for student play-by-play.
Right.
There you go. Back-to-back.
I lost to a guy who was in... I believe it was Colby, Kansas, who did junior college play-by-play. Guy by the name of Sasha Sanguinetti. I still remember his name, that son of a gun.
That's a name. Edged me out twice.
It's the only time I've ever won anything.
And look where he is now. Yeah. Probably far more successful than either one of us, so whatever. But we are very happy to have Sam Mellinger in studio with us right now.
Freaking Sasha.
Man.
Sasha Sanguinetti.
Do you ever Google him? Like, where are
no,
you
No, you know
now?
I ran into him at the Kansas Association of Broadcasters. Like, they do a convention down at the Royals every year.
Right.
And I ran into him.
Oh, see, he's still in the business?
Yeah. I think he still lives in Western Kansas. Yeah.
Did you go up to him and say, hey, I loved your call of the Sporting KC match. Oh, sorry, that's me.
And he was like, what is Sporting Kansas City? Is that like a tennis team? What is that?
Jake liked that one. Look at him.
What sport do they play?
I got a belly laugh out of Jake.
I did tell him. I was like, I remember you. You beat me twice at the Kansas Association Broadcaster Student Awards.
Right. Now,
son of a gun.
And his bodyguard tackled you, and it was just a big mess.
Sam, usually...
I've been prank phone calling him for 20 years, actually.
Wow.
I buy that.
Yeah,
I
know.
Yes, you're making joke, but it's probably factual.
Yeah, every joke has a kernel of truth in it, right?
Why? So, usually we have fun and try to laugh when you're on the show, but this is serious business now because...
It's serious.
Why, as a member of the media, are you the only ones who criticize Bruce Weber? I mean, can't you leave well enough alone?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know this is a serious topic.
You just create these things, and then the media. Now, listen to Bruce Weber, because people.
Do I have to?
Well, someone texted me when I was reading the comments, and he didn't really say that, did he?
Can I just tell you this? By the way, yesterday I was at Costco. And looking for some paper towels and tissues.
Looking for a few dozen rolls of paper towels.
What do you do with those?
And also, I haven't heard about these allergies. And also sampling very many different delicious little tasty treats that were on the end of the aisle. But anyways, as I was walking through the aisle, a guy just walks by me. He doesn't say, hey Nate, fan of the show, or hey Nate, hate the show. Nothing like that.
Was it Bruce Weber?
He just walks by me and he says, I'm just kind of looking at the paper towels. And he goes. So are we going to hear any new Bruce Weber clips on Monday morning?
Why, yes.
First thing out of the
Why, yes, we are.
I didn't know if we had this quote yet. And I was said something yesterday.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you. There are certain people that make your job a little bit easier as a columnist or as a talk show host. Bruce Weber is a wonderful gift of words.
Good for him.
That it just keeps on giving. So somebody texts me. He didn't really say that, did he? Here is Bruce Weber after the heartbreaking loss to Oklahoma over the weekend.
Oh, boy.
How personally have you handled criticism the last couple of weeks?
I don't know. I don't have any criticism. The only one that brings anything up is you. So, and then the other dude at the thing at the press conference. That's the only one that's ever criticized me. So, you know, if you want to be negative, that's fine with you. Me, I'm just, my life is about being positive and good things and good kids, great K-State opportunity. That's all I care about.
Okay. All right. All right.
But now he doesn't listen to this show.
No. We have heard many a coach and a player claim that, hey, I don't read the papers, I don't listen to the radio, I don't watch TV, I don't talk to people in public, I don't leave the house, I don't have a phone, I don't have an internet. We've heard it all.
Yep.
Okay? The late Larry Smith told us, I don't have an internet. So we've heard it. Bruce Weber, every post game, has a tremendous grasp of everything that's been said about him, current scores in conference that are going on right now, a game that ended during his game. He knows the score and the leading scorer, he'll tell you.
I don't have an internet.
He, of all coaches, he, to me, has the most knowledge of everything being said around him. So how is he telling Kelis Robinette, the only one that ever brings up anything and criticizes me is you and the other dude.
At the thing.
At the thing. And so the other dude apparently is D. Scott Fritchin. And the other thing is what we call a press conference.
Dude at the thing, man.
Right. Well, you know.
And the other dude, D. Scott, who hasn't missed a K-State press conference or game in 50 years.
You know his name. So I want to believe, and I feel like both of you are very positive, very upbeat people that look for the good side of things. Is it possible that these are the only two gentlemen that have criticized Bruce Weber in his vicinity?
No.
Except for Boo! That guy.
I keep trying to tell you, he was clearly saying Bruce.
No.
Man, thank you,
Bruce. I feel like the Fire Bruce hashtag not my coach t-shirt he's wearing might be labeled as criticism. Sam Mellinger.
Let's do this.
Bruce walks on water?
Yeah, the one guy was defending him.
See?
That doesn't sound sincere, by the way.
Oh, whatever.
All right. That was sad. Bruce Weber said it's sad. I think his comments were sad because he sounded defeated. He sounded like a man that just got blowed out by the worst team in the league. In a game that he has to know may mean his job. I've maintained all along that if they make the tournament, he's going to get a 2-year extension that's going to tick off a lot of K-State fans. And if he doesn't, I believe he's going to be fired. And losing in the last, 2 weeks of the season by 30 points to the worst team in the league is just a horrible look. He knows that people are criticizing him. And here's another thing about Bruce. I think that Bruce is a good coach. I really do. I think he's a good basketball coach. I think he is terrible at PR. He is one of the worst major, you know, sports figures at just projecting an image. And in college sports, that matters. And so I don't know if he's trying to convince people that this is just like, you know, bad, you know, Kelis Robinette, who's always out to get him, and
right.
D. Scott Fritchin, who's been negative. We all know D. Scott Fritchin is, you know, never said a nice thing about anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what it is, it's completely sad because the message is being heard by, I don't know what the percentage is, like what the breakdown is. It's certainly at least a vocal minority that wants Bruce Weber fired 2 years ago. But that's a significant portion of the fan base. And Bruce knows that. He gets letters. He gets phone calls. I know this. Like, the fact that he went that route, he seems, I don't know how you go that route unless you're completely rattled. unless you're not thinking straight. You just got shook by this 30-point loss to a really bad team, and you just kind of say the first thing that comes to your mind in trying to defend yourself. But, like, nobody, it's just the reason it's sad to me is nobody believes that. Bruce's wife heard that and is like, really? Because I hear people criticize you a lot, and they're not just C. Scott and Kellis.
One of those K-State text message chains I'm on, Stephen.
Oh, boy.
And I told you, those guys have all been, they've been outraged ever since the Brad Underwood thing. They all wanted Brad Underwood. They're still mad about that. So they've been pretty much anti-Bruce all year. But one of them said, well, what's Bruce supposed to say after that? He can't say, if he acknowledges he pays attention to that stuff, people criticize him for paying attention to that stuff. And I said, well, first of all, he already acknowledges it all the time.
Yes.
That he pays attention to outside things. Second of all, he high-fived a guy who was booing him to his face. So we know for a fact that he's at least been criticized by one other human being.
That guy looked like Kellis,
though. That he witnessed.
Was it Kellis Robinette?
Yeah. Now, that's unprofessional of the Kansas City Star to do that after a game. But to me, it's an indication, like you said, again, of how bad he is at this whole PR thing. Ugh. Because to me, it's so simple. It's so simple to just say, look, it's part of the job. You know, you deal with criticism. It's part of the job. We get paid a lot of money to deal with it, and we just got to make sure that we don't allow it to become a distraction. Obviously, we didn't do a good job of that today, but it's part of the job. You don't even have to say that much. You could just say, look, it comes with the territory. It comes with the job.
Yeah,
I deal with it.
It's the easiest thing in the world. Yeah, and you talk about, like, we have some people who will support us, too, and we're trying hard, and it's all about winning games, and our job is to, you know, get those people on our side. This is just not a hard thing to just not be this bad at projecting an image. And
nobody's happy with the way we've played, and I'm at the top of that list.
How many times have you heard a ball player
better,
say,
we got to coach better, we got to, you know, all
how
that
many
stuff.
Times have you heard a ball player say, I hold myself to a higher standard than even the people that are criticizing me? So, you know, like, it's just, there's so many easier ways or better ways to answer that. But, you know, the guy that authors this completely comical, we kicked their butt on the play hard chart again after getting swept by your in-state rival. I mean, that's the same guy. It is what it is. And the team has, go ahead.
Play hard, kick their butt again.
I mean, it's just bad
kick
at it.
Kick their butt again. like the other part too, like Bruce is, if you talk to him just like one-on-one, he's pretty good. Like he can be honest and, you know, he can like talk about things, but there's something about this press conference setting where I don't know if he just feels like he's under attack and, you know, gosh, like they were under attack the other day, but that ended after the 40 minutes of play, you know? And then for the players too, I think, you know, look, like they're college kids, so whatever. But I think that's a bad look when you get blown out by 30 and you can't send Wesley Awundu, you know, or DJ Johnson, like a smart, you know, articulate senior that's been through this before. You know, like one of those guys can be a good representative for the program and just say, like, look, we got to play better and all that stuff. And they couldn't do that. And why would they if their coach is saying this?
The entire team wouldn't talk to the media.
God. Come on, Bruce.
And that I'm glad you brought that up because that makes it worse because, like you said, it appears that they're just now following suit.
Like, yeah, that's the thing. Like the players could have done it. You know, if it really was the story was that the SIDA, I assume like Tom Gilbert just said like that, you know, this was their choice or whatever. And that's fine. Whatever. We can't force people to talk. But they're little doubt, right? They're following the. You know, the example of their leader.
The media is criticizing us. They're against us. Okay, then we don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And not, it's a bad look when the time that you choose not to speak to the media is when you get blown out by 30, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, Wesley Awundu is one of those seniors, and after they won down at Texas, he's tweeting out, where are all the haters?
Right.
You know, well, then you lose by 30, and you're not, where are you?
A few of them were at the game in Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy with the... Yeah. Fire Bruce shirt.
Well, no, it was just Kellis and D. Scott.
Those okay, well, you knew that. Yeah. So, yes or no, before we break, if Bruce Weber gets fired, will Brad Underwood leave Oklahoma State to go to K-State?
No. I don't think so. I think Oklahoma State's a better job than K-State. And I think that he would have. Here's the deal. I think that if those two jobs were open at the same time, I think he'd go to K-State. But I don't think he's going to leave. I'd be really surprised at that.
It's a $6 million buyout if he wants to leave in conference. Is that right?
I think Bruce Weber has a $2.5 million buyout.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Take a break. When we come back, we will talk Chiefs, as I was at the 101 Awards yesterday, conducting some interviews. We'll play a few brief comments from Eric Berry. And Jake Pounders gets another gift, a gift for him that keeps on giving. Another prominent person in the NFL media has talked about how Alex Smith should be playing someplace else. Jake Pounders, today's your day. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with award-winning columnist from the Kansas City Star, Mr. Sam Mellinger. Sam, I was at the 101 Awards yesterday and had a chance to catch up briefly with Eric Berry before he was ushered out of the room. So I want to play that quick two-minute clip and then get your thoughts about where this is headed. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Right now, we have newly named Chiefs MVP, winner of the Derek Thomas Award, Eric Berry. Eric, you shared this award before, but now you're the guy up there winning the MVP award in the name of Derek Thomas. What's that mean to you?
It means a lot. My dad told me a long time ago, there's nothing like having the respect of your teammates. And honestly, I do it for them, you know, just going through my journey and the numerous texts I used to get, like just flooded with text messages from them when I was going through my chemo treatments and telling me that I was going to be all right. And the ones that came and saw me, the ones that mentioned me in so many different things, like that goes a long way. You know, they pushed me through that journey on my down days. So I just wanted to come back to the team and give that to them, you know, not just from my play, but from my leadership and my, you know, just our camaraderie.
You know, I know you've answered this question many times, but when you're going through that chemo and you were trying to make it back and get ready to play, I know that you knew you'd be back, but did you ever doubt, like, say you'd be here as the Chiefs MVP and playing at such a high level, and I mean not just all the way back, but better than you were before?
Man, I just really tried to take it at one moment at a time, because a lot of times when I tried to look too far ahead, like, it didn't really look that good.
Right.
So I just try to take it that way.
Are you going to be in a Chiefs uniform next year?
I want to, so bad.
How involved do you get in the process with this? Do you stay out of it, or do you let the agent handle it, or are you in this thing?
Right now I get updates, but I'm involved, you know.
How bad do you want to stay here?
I want to stay here. Chemistry goes a long way, you know, so.
And still, if the franchise tag, are you still not playing with the franchise tag?
I won't do that.
But you got to get something done.
Got to get something done.
Is there a deadline for you?
Before the season? Anytime before the season.
Let's get it done.
Yeah.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. That was a quick chat with Eric Berry. So, what the hell you're laughing at?
I have been tweeted by Sasha Sanguinetti.
Oh, boy.
That's awesome.
Yeah! In your face. You're my guy. Sasha, you don't know me, and I don't know you, but you are
Sasha,
my guy
now. Fantastic.
And he's like, oh, just found these a couple of weeks ago. I'm right. Like, yeah, just found them.
You're my guy. He sent a picture of the two awards that he beat Nate Buchady out for.
That is great.
I mean, you were, sir, if you're willing, we'd like to book you as a guest this week on the Border Patrol just to hear in your own words how it was to beat Nate Buchady.
He's still in
this
cold.
This guy might be my favorite person in America.
I mean, that's on your guest list now, right?
Oh, yeah. He's at the top.
Dude, we got to get him on.
Right. Oh, he's coming on.
He's rocketed to the top of my guest list.
General manager of a 5 radio station cluster in Northwest Kansas.
A terrific gentleman now. Congratulations.
Damn good play-by-play guy, too. I remember listening to
sounds like it.
Now you're kissing me, man.
Yeah.
Good and my you. Nemesis.
Back off.
Right.
So,
that's amazing.
Awesome.
Eric Berry, I'll ask you the same thing, and hopefully no one will tell you the interview's over. Will he be in a Chiefs uniform next year?
I believe so. Yeah, I think they'll get it done.
Have you wavered at all?
No.
Or are you still? Because I'm confident, but.
Yeah, no, I think they'll get it done. There's too many reasons on both sides. I mean, some of that was true last year, too. But there's too many reasons to get it done. And, you know, if the Chiefs look like they've done this repeatedly, They could have signed Justin Houston for a lot less money.
Whoa.
And they waited. And then he broke the franchise sack record. So then they had to pay a lot more. They could have paid Eric Berry less than what they'll probably have to pay now, last mm-hmm. year. They waited. He had a terrific year. Won a couple games for him. You know, was the freaking team.
And then MVP. On the flip side.
Right, they could have paid Alex Smith way more than he was worth, and they did.
And they could have paid him less if they would have waited.
No.
They would have franchised him, signed Houston long-term, and if they wanted to re-sign Alex Smith, then they could have gotten him at a lower price.
No, what if you franchise this?
I'm just saying.
Right.
The Tampa contract. Right. Their cap management has not
been some issues there. Okay, so.
Franchise
yeah, I think
this.
Man, here's an article from NJ.com over the weekend. New Jersey, ladies and gentlemen. Boomer Esiason was at a charity event, and I've told you, in I think it was in the New York Daily News a few months ago, there was at least a rumor, an article about the Jets showing some interest in trading for Alex Smith if he were to come available. And I've referenced that a couple of times. So here's some more smoke for that fire. Boomer Esiason was interviewed at a charity hockey game, and he was asked about who the next New York Jets quarterback should be. And so he told the media, the gathering there, I know that this isn't going to excite anybody, but Alex Smith. What a way to really set things up for... he said, and this is the article, if the Chiefs get Tony Romo, Smith becomes expendable, and that's when the Jets should pounce, according to Esiason. He can handle the crap if he has to. He would be a very steady influence and somebody who is in the midst of his prime. And he knows the West Coast offense. I'm assuming that's what new offensive coordinator Johnny Morton is going to be running. There's no way Bryce Petty and Christian Hackenberg are going to be ready for that. They're just not ready for it. Alex has obviously played his entire career in it. And he goes on to talk about Alex Smith and his solid statistics, but the fact that he's 1-3 in the playoffs with the Kansas City Chiefs. And so, yeah, I mean, he gets all the credit for being whatever his record is, the quarterback. Well, he has to wear the playoff record as well. And so here's the rest of the article. Kansas City's reportedly interested in Romo because they don't believe Smith can get it done. Do you like to hear that, Jake? Other people writing about that? Kansas City's reportedly interested in Romo because they don't believe Smith can get it done. Esiason doesn't believe this should scare off the Jets. He's just cautious, Boomer said. He's a cautious player. He's a smart player. And you know what? If Ryan Fitzpatrick were a little more cautious last year, they wouldn't have lost as many games as they did. So there's nothing wrong with being cautious. It's just not going to get you to the promised land. That's for sure.
What a defense of Alex Smith.
So if you're like a Jets fan, like, okay, all right, for sure, can't
Sign
go to the promised
up.
Land, and it's not going to excite me. And is there anything, first of all, who knows if there's anything to this? It keeps coming up.
Yeah.
It keeps coming up.
It does. I think that Alex Smith is going to be the starting quarterback for the Chiefs.
Is there anything inaccurate about what Esiason said in describing Alex Smith?
No. I mean, I think that, look, there's a small quibble, but I think if the pieces around Alex Smith are moving perfectly, the Chiefs can be in the Super Bowl. I believe that. But he's certainly not the guy that's going to, you know, march you down the field and do all that, like win a game for you, unless he's willing to make a few more mistakes along the way. But I think he's going to be the starting quarterback. And I think that Romo doesn't make sense for a lot of reasons, including that he's, 38, 39, and he's been hurt 2 years in a row behind the best offensive line in football. And now he's, you know, as humans do, he is older now and would be behind a lesser offensive line. I just don't think that that's a way to go. It's just the way to freaking go. Like, this is so simple to me. You draft a guy. Whoever you think is the best guy in this draft, you take him. And if you have to trade up to take him, you do that. You have extra picks. And you draft a guy in the first or second round, and you groom him, and you develop him. And if Alex Smith sucks in 2017, then maybe you put him in there in week 5 or 10 or whatever. But, you know, more likely, he's your starting quarterback for 2018. He's got a full year in your system. You get a whole mess of cap relief if you cut Alex Smith in a year. You can use that to sign other guys. To me, that's it's just the way to go. Like, do you want another retread? Like, is that where we're going now? Do you want another guy who's not good enough at the team, you know, who used to be really good?
No, if they were to acquire Romo, I would want it in some type of relationship with a young quarterback also coming in. Like, if I could have whatever I wanted, yeah, I'd want Romo and them to draft a quarterback in the first round. They're not going to get Romo, and they're not going to draft a quarterback in the first round because they'll draft either a defensive tackle or a corner or an interior offensive lineman. Maybe they throw some money at DeSean Jackson to give Alex Smith that one more weapon that he needs, and then they'll get a quarterback maybe in the fourth round as a project, a guy like they have before with Murray or Hogan. And they'll just go right through it again. And Alex Smith won't suck. He'll play well enough for this team to win 10 or 11 games. And they'll get to the playoffs. And they'll be in the playoffs until they run into Tom Brady or Ben Roethlisberger. They'll get beat. And then we'll be having the same conversation again next year.
Yeah.
And that's just how I think it's going to play out.
Yeah. I just...
I don't think that's too far-fetched.
No. 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 That's chalk.
Right. Because that's just what it is.
Yeah. But I just... if. Is what I'm saying the smart way to go?
I think it's the conservative smart way to go, but conservative and the smart way to go has not, this team has not made it to the Super Bowl.
Conservative is trading up if you have to the 10th pick or whatever.
Oh, like, yeah, that's ballsy because I don't think they're going to do that. Like if they traded up to get Deshaun Watson or traded up to get Trubisky or Deshaun Kaiser,
they got a bunch of draft picks.
They got Pat Mahomes.
They can do it.
Well, sure, they can do it. They can do. They've been able to do it every year.
See, I feel like they have to draft a quarterback with one of their early picks this year.
So you're saying they have to. So what's going to happen if they don't?
I'll be livid.
But for them, that's not on their radar. They're like, we got to do this, or Nate is going to be pissed.
Right?
They don't have to.
But what I'm saying is, it's what makes all the sense in the world. Because we can sit here and debate: should it be Alex Smith or should it be Tony Romo? Either one, to me, is only an option for this coming year. You know what I mean? Like Tony Romo is the gamble. If somehow he can catch lightning in a bottle and he can be healthy for a year, he can do more big things than Alex Smith. Alex Smith is the conservative play because he's got a better chance of staying healthy, and you already kind of know what you got with him, and you know you can get to the playoffs with him, and maybe if the defense can be great enough, you can do something. But neither one is like the long-term option anymore. Alex Smith is into his 30s now, and you just gave all the reasons financially that they got to move on from him after this year. And Tony Romo is going to be 38 by the end of the season, so they can't keep, he's not a long-term option. So neither one of those guys is a long-term option. There are quarterbacks to be drafted in this draft. They have a ton of draft picks to give them flexibility this year to either move up or use their pick to get him and address some other options. They don't have to because I'm going to criticize them for it. They have to because everyone should criticize them for it and because it's insanity not to draft a quarterback finally this time around.
Yes,
is what I'm saying.
I also want to point out two quick things here. We talk about Tony Romo, and I think we're all in agreement here, unless Jake wants to disagree with this, that Tony Romo is better than Alex Smith. You good with that, Jake?
Yeah, that's...
Okay. No, Nate's the one that disagrees with that.
So, Alex Smith has been further in the playoffs than Tony Romo. So now you're going to bring in Tony Romo and his terrible back.
Now football is a game based quarterback against quarterback.
I'm saying this is not a pro-Alex Smith argument. This is more of an anti... Tony Romo argument.
Okay. I can hear that.
He is not, you know, they're not bringing in Joe Montana, for instance, you know, back in the 90s. The other part of this is that we are all like, we have this like scar tissue of following the Chiefs of you know, bringing in all these backups, never drafting a guy. Andy Reid and John Dorsey, like in their separate football worlds, that's not how they've operated. You know, they have drafted, you know, you know, the Packers, you know, the famous story about Rodgers. Dorsey identified his guy, Donovan McNabb, and then rode that forever. Like, that's been their model, where they've been. And, you know, it's not like Clark Hunt is like dictating, you know, well, my dad never wanted to draft a quarterback because he was convinced by Carl Peterson. So this is how we're going to do it. Like, I do think that this is a legitimate possibility. I don't think they're going to trade up to the number six pick or whatever if they think Deshaun Watson is the best guy, for instance. But I will be I think it's about like I think it's there's a legitimate 50-50-ish chance that they draft somebody in the first or second round, partly because I think these quarterbacks are good fits for them. They're kind of raw. They all need some coaching in different ways, and I think the Chiefs are a really good place for that coaching to happen.
I don't think – for me, there's no – I would never try to make the case that Tony Romo in his prime wasn't better than Alex Smith.
Of course
Tony,
he was.
Tony yeah. Romo was better.
Of course.
38-year-old Tony Romo off of two serious injuries is a different story for me. That's where I do think it's up for debate. Current day Alex Smith versus current day Tony Romo, I don't think personally that it's an upgrade to go to Romo. It's a gamble because you might be able to catch lightning in a bottle and maybe he can harness what he was 4 years ago for 14 games this year and you got a better chance. But I will say this. I believe Alex Smith has a chance to really do something in New York, because Stephen, you pointed out that Johnny Morton is the offensive coordinator there, and he's got a
Johnny Morton's got three nice balls.
Special weapon there for
right.
you know. Maybe Alex Smith can do a little more with that.
I was just looking
at a different Johnny Morton, by the way.
Right.
Pro Football Reference here, and you guys probably realize this. I just didn't. That I was just looking up, you know, the history of the Cowboys with Romo, and of course, this season their leading passer was Dak Prescott. Did you guys realize that in 2015? The Cowboys' leading passer.
Was it Matt Cassel?
Yeah. Huh.
Well, Whedon really lit the world on right. fire when he got his shot. You know?
Seven picks, five touchdowns.
He's after playing. earning a excellent salary,
yeah.
right?
Oh, boy. Draft a guy.
Yeah, they just got to do it. Do it.
Yeah. It's not like they had a chance to draft Derek Carr, but, you know. We'll
so
see.
Caught up on these quarterbacks.
I know.
He's so focused on the quarterback.
Yeah, so focused on this dumb Super Bowl that they can't ever get to. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nick Buckley, and Sam Mellinger. How come you didn't bring your award in, by the way? Is it a plaque? Is it a trophy? Is it a certificate?
Oh,
like,
me?
What do you get?
Yeah, that's a plaque.
Where do you hang it up at? In your office? In your living room? Is that people walk in? Or
no. I'm embarrassed to say this.
What?
The last one I won, I believe, is still in the trunk of my car. Sorry. I'm not supposed to say that out loud.
Yeah, I don't think you should have said that.
No, that's awesome.
So
that
like,
is honest and awesome. If there's anybody who can respect stuff in the trunk, it's that man right there.
Like what do you, like J-Lo?
I'm just
no,
saying.
I mean, oh, yeah. So, like, in my trunk, they criticize me because I have, like, a full wardrobe.
Yeah, a couple
I have enough things in my car
clothes.
Where if I told somebody, hey, I'm moving into a new apartment today, like, oh, yeah, there you go. You got your clothes, got shoes, everything else. I just want to have a change of clothes if something happens. I got, like, stuff. Whatever.
I did notice.
Like, if Steven needed to hit the road for like a week, he'd be good.
Yeah,
and sometimes
do you remember
I
when
do.
I asked for that, like, I wanted a Border Patrol t-shirt,
yeah.
and you took me to your car, and it was, right. It looked like you robbed the place.
Scott Pioli once,
who says I didn't,
Scott Pioli once found Stephen St. John distributing t-shirts from out of the trunk of his car in downtown Kansas City.
Yeah, Anthony's restaurant down there.
I like Anthony's. Cool.
Yeah.
It's good
Pioli.
So you're not like Sasha Sanguinetti. You don't have your awards just sitting there ready to rub it in somebody's face.
No. You know? But that's such a strong move. I now wish I did.
If whoever finished second in the award you got, I hope you're like 20 years from now, you're texting in pictures like, hey, check this out, buddy.
So can I go
just
down?
Just found these the other week.
Can I go down to your trunk sometime and see all your awards?
Yeah come on.
Okay, so let's...
old basketball shoes that haven't been worn in a while.
Nate Buchady, very excited because it's senior night. And now this looks like this is going to be a good matchup because Oklahoma is red. They beat K-State by 30, so there you got their...
Stop with your negativity.
Well, I know.
I don't have any criticism.
You know, is the dude at the thing going to be there tonight?
I don't know. He covers K-State. Sam Mellinger, what would you say about this senior class that Kansas fans will say goodbye to tonight?
Well, Bill Self's favorite all-time player, right, is part of that senior
right.
class.
Tyler Self?
Yep. So I think that...
How about you like Sharon Collins more?
And Jamari Traylor.
Mm-hmm.
right. But he has to say Tyler.
Yeah. I mean, actually, he's quite a disappointment.
actually, let's be honest, my favorite player is Mario Chalmers. And so, then
got me this this ring right here.
Right. And then Frank Mason. And then
so this was like 2 years ago.
And Tyler's in the top three, though, for sure.
For sure?
Top three of this senior class. Right. He was like, he was talking about some game. He's like, I forgot the context exactly, but he goes, you know, that might be a Tyler game. And I was like, huh? And he goes, we may blow them out so bad that we can get Tyler in the game.
Wow.
That's, like, that's how a good he one. Measures these games. So I think that the Frank Mason, and I don't watch enough, you know, day in, day out, specifically Villanova with Josh Hart and who's the kid from Purdue, Swanigan or Swan, whatever, mm-hmm. that other people talk about for possible National Player of the Year. But Frank Mason is a near lock for first team All-America, right?
Yes.
And if not the favorite, one of the favorites for National Player of the Year. That is an incredible story of player development of a guy, you know, that was going to go to Towson State and came on and, you know, Bill Self and he, you know, to his credit, he's not saying like we thought we had a future All-American here. They thought they had depth. They thought they had a guy, you know, that could come off the bench as a junior and senior. They didn't know they had this, but his development is absolutely incredible. I believe that he's the best point guard that Bill Self's had at Kansas. I do think he's better than Sharon. I think he played a lot better than Sharon, among other things. Certainly had a much better senior season. Than Sharon, and then you can get in the argument about best point guard of all time. We don't have time for that right now. Landon Lucas is one of three indispensable players on this team. If an injury happened to Frank Mason, Josh Jackson, or Landon Lucas, I believe that those would fundamentally change the ceiling for what Kansas basketball can do. He is the one guy on that team that can defend specifically around the rim. He's not Jeff Withey. He's not, you know, like a rim protector, to use the term that everybody uses, but an absolutely, you know, fundamental part of this team. And again, a guy, I remember watching him practice as a when he transferred. It was, or he didn't transfer, like when he was redshirting. And he was overmatched, weak, out of shape. I mean, just did not look like he belonged at all. And now, you know, Bob Huggins, what do you call him, the most underappreciated or underrated player in the league? And I absolutely think there's a case for that.
Shout out to Andrea Hootie. I got my God Hootie shirt.
You do, yeah.
She's, you know, maybe the most underrated aspect of the development of both of those guys. But I will yeah. always appreciate, I mean, as a dad, to me, all you can ask for your kids is to make the absolute most out of what they've been given.
Yeah.
And I feel like Landon Lucas and Frank Mason both have absolutely done that. Their dad should be proud.
There you can also ask them to clean their room, and they won't.
Well, I mean, that's
I mean, they really won't. I don't know why. I mean, and I'm going to tell you this. I'm not going in there because it smells.
I believe you.
Yeah. So I'm not doing this for you. That is bad. Sorry. Sorry, fellas.
That's all right.
And we didn't really talk about the Royals. Need to see some more games, some more box scores, and talk about the position battles.
They shouldn't be playing games already. This is just spring training's too long anyway, and then you throw in the World Baseball Classic, and it gets way longer. They'll play baseball games.
What was your favorite movie that was nominated for a Best Picture? Have you seen any of them?
No. Dude, I literally have not seen a movie since Entourage.
Well, which one was your favorite out of the, even though you haven't seen any of them?
I can't name you.
Because most of the people that voted for them didn't see any of them either. They just voted for everything.
I had no interest in watching that show. I haven't seen a movie in so long. Yeah. This is how bad I am. We were going to watch a movie the other night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kid skipped his nap and, you know, it was going to be like this movie night. And so I was like Googling like kids movies, and that was like Cars or something was going to be the first movie I'd seen since Entourage came out a long time ago, right?
A couple of years at least.
Years ago.
Yeah. Right.
Like two.
Three, four years ago.
Ugh. Tell you what, if you're going to see one, see Manchester by the Sea, uplifting, will put you in a great mood, and you'll be like walking on a cloud for the rest of the week. All right, Manchester by the Sea.
Manchester by the Sea.
Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.